11, Lucky thought from her seat at the back of the school bus. 11, 11, 11. And the idea of it, the sound of it, threw off sparks in her head. You start with 1, 2, 3, those clunky one-syllable beginner ages like wooden blocks that toddlers play with. Keep going, and you get to 8, 9, 10, the plodding steps you have to climb until, at last, you arrive. Finally, finally, you reach the best age, the one that, when you say it out loud, sounds like a little tap dance or a drum roll. And now, Lucky was almost there, about to turn 11, a dazzling change. Not the thud of 10, but flouncy 11, with its sophisticated three syllables. Write it as numerals and you have a pair of ones side by side, a fearless two-part beginning, the door to becoming a teenager. She pictured 11 as a swinging double door, a saloon door in an old Western. You push the sides open, bam, with both hands, and stride through before they flap shut again. Your childhood behind you. And her secret 11? The two straps of Lucky's brand new bra. Her first. As the whole miraculousness of 11 sparked in Lucky's brain, the big bus with its three passengers in the very back seat jolted along the highway toward Sierra City. It was the last day of the first week of school. Lincoln, smelling of pencil lead, frowned over a complicated, much-creased diagram. It looked like the pattern for an intricate weaving of some kind and was accompanied by numbers and letters of different colors. Lincoln didn't seem to have changed when he turned 11 half a year ago. He still tied knots, always practicing and learning new ones. Miles, by the window, clutched a bubble-wrapped object in his small, grimy hands. "Lucky," Miles said, leaning forward to peer around Lincoln's diagram. "Look at my show-and-tell. It's a wing." Lincoln raised his paper without taking his eyes off it, allowing Lucky to reach across for the object, but Miles jerked back. "Nobody can touch it," he said, "because it's from the Found Object Windchime Museum, and Short Sammy said I should borrow it because my only other show-and-tell was a piece of vacuum hose, but I had to promise no one would touch it, even Miss B." "Well, I can't really see it, Miles. You've got it all covered up with bubble wrap." "Yeah, so I'll do the tell part now and the show part when the bus stops, and you can look close, but you still can't touch it." Lucky knew that Miles took his responsibilities very seriously, for a 5-going-on-6-year-old. "Okay," she agreed. "Okay," Miles echoed happily, settling back into his seat, cradling his object. After a minute, Lincoln folded his diagram and said, "So what is the tell part? What did you mean, that it's a wing?"
"Oh, yeah," Miles said. "It's part of a brooch that got shot in half by a miner called Burrow Bob about 100 years ago.
You probably don't know what a brooch is. It's a pin." "A pin?" Lucky asked.
"Yeah, like jewelry. Ladies wear them on their..."
Miles's cheeks suddenly turned deep red.
"Here."
He pointed a dirty-looking finger at his chest.
"So this woman... her name was Paloma, got killed by a bullet right in her heart. She got fought over by two miners, Burrow Bob and his partner, Frank the Fuse. Anyway, her name means dove in Spanish, and that's why Burrow Bob made the pin in the shape of a dove. He made it out of garnets and quartz and some other thing. I think amnesia, all from mines around Hardpan."
One corner of Lincoln's mouth twitched at the word amnesia, a tiny smile Lucky knew was meant for her, but not Miles to see.
"And Bob and his burrow were digging this well for water, only they never found any. But Frank tried to take Paloma for himself, so Bob plugged him."
Miles formed his hand as if it were a gun, aimed at the front of the bus, pulled the trigger, made the sound of a gunshot, and fell back in his seat from the recoil.
"But somehow, the bullet got Paloma instead." Miles jumped up to enact the part of the wounded Paloma, making agonized death sounds while clutching his chest to stop the bleeding.
"Get back in your seat, Miles!"
Sandy, the bus driver, shouted from the front. Miles slid onto his seat, still dying.
"I am in my seat!" he shouted back.
"So?" said Lucky. "She died?"
"Yeah."
The bullet went right through the brooch and got her in the heart. It broke the pin in two. Sammy says the piece they found, Miles held up the wrapped object, is the wing of the dove, and the rest of the brooch is at the bottom of the well, which was, what's it called when they give up and quit working, like at a mine and close it?
Abandoned, Lincoln said. Or condemned.
Yeah. Abandoned. Miles carefully slid the bubble-wrapped covered pin into an empty plastic Band-Aid box, snapping the lid shut. Burrow Bob and Frank the Fuse disappeared and never got caught. But Short Sammy says lots of people have tried to find the rest of the dove brooch, its head and stuff, by climbing down into the old well. Abandoned or condemned? Lucky repeated softly, thinking how sad those words sounded. How lonely. They could be words about wells, but they could also be words about people.
They should seal up those old wells, Lincoln said, gazing out the window. They're dangerous.